This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Should Michigan towns be preparing for possible effects of climate change? The group Resilient Michigan, a project of the Land Information Access Association, is working with some towns in the state on updating master plans in anticipation of the fallout from climate change. We're joined by two of the community planners, Harry Burkholder and Claire Carner. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Give us a little background here. How did this project get started?
Resilience and obviously climate change have been topics centered in the news for the last several years. And we've been kind of studying how do communities be resilient. And we found that, especially when the topic addresses climate change, that they're typically in kind of climate action plans or standalone documents, which are effective, but from our experience, doesn't have the same impact that a master plan and then potentially the zoning ordinance has for local land use issues. And we think climate change is very important when we talk about land use. And so it was our idea that the topic of resilience and climate change should be baked into a master planning process, that the items that we're going to be discussing about the impacts of climate change at the local level and for land use, that those are the documents that address that. So we proposed that to the Kresge Foundation as a project, and they thought it was a good idea and funded work for us to then work in communities around the state to do a resilient master planning process. At the same time, we had been working with the Coastal Zone Management Program of the DEQ, and they were interested in how coastal communities could be more resilient. So we were able to leverage the Kresge Foundation and also the Coastal Zone Management Program to do these master planning efforts on coastal communities around the state. Resilience isn't just for coastal communities, but those are the two funders. And that's why the bulk of our work is focused on communities along the Great Lakes shoreline.
And who are those communities right now that you're working with?
So working in the community of East Jordan up in northern Michigan, but then along Lake Michigan, Ludington, Grand Haven, and the community of St. Joe. And we, last year, just about wrapped up a project in the city of Monroe on Lake Erie. So we're quite busy with, we're kind of in the middle of all those master planning processes. And then we have a couple of additional projects we're going to kick off in the next month or so in the community of Holland, and then in kind of greater Macomb County over on Lake St. Clair.
So let's talk a little bit about the work that's actually being done here. Are you helping these communities plan for flooding? Is that a big part of this?
Yeah, we're looking at flooding. Flooding has been shown to be one of the number one issues for communities in the Midwest. So we're working with the communities to try to conduct vulnerability assessments. We're looking at vulnerability to various types of events. We're looking at heat and flooding, and also some of the in coastal communities. We're looking at some of the coastal vulnerabilities of storm surge, inundation, erosion. So for flooding, we look at where homes are located. We look at where sensitive homes might be located. We are working with the University of Michigan, and they have done some research that has found that homes that were built before 1940 and haven't had regular maintenance or upkeep are more likely to be sensitive to flooding events. And so we identify some of the older homes and neighborhoods that might be lower income. And then we overlay some of the FEMA maps. So there's those flood insurance rate maps that identify base flood areas that are prone to a 1% storm. So they're the 100-year flood areas. And so we try to identify areas that might be prone to flooding, and then we try to work with the communities to identify ways to maybe treat stormwater on site, make some street improvements, maybe identify areas where they could apply for some community development block grants to make the homes more resilient against impacts from flooding.
The other thing that we're looking at, in addition to the kind of climate change resilience, is really economic resilience. So it's really two sides of that coin, really looking at how the communities can have a diverse economy that's, again, better able to absorb a shock of a large business leaving the community or a large plant. So there's a climate change component, but there's also this economic resilience component.
Have these communities started to see already the impact of climate change on their towns, on the shoreline, on the area surrounding them?
Yeah, you know, we're working with Monroe. After we left a couple of months, they experienced the significant flooding events this summer. And so they held a series of community meetings, brought some of the maps that we had created to these community meetings. And so there had been some significant flooding in homes and basements. And so there was a few neighborhoods within the Monroe community that are kind of moving forward and applying for some funding to make some fixes in their neighborhoods. And so when we were working in Monroe, a lot of times we would, you know, people would ask why we keep talking about the weather, and not, you know, planning commissions would not completely understand why we kept bringing up the weather in some of these planning and land use discussions. And so I think it really hits home when they've been involved in this community planning process, and then a few months later they see some of these events actually hitting home. It's a little bit different when you're talking about what happens in other communities as opposed to what's actually happening on the ground in your community.
And Gordon, I would also say that when we talk to local communities, when we talk to staff, they really have their finger on the pulse of what's changing in the community. So when we talk to the public works director, they know exactly how many times we had the 20-year, you know, rain event in the last year, and they can tell you what that means for their sewer infrastructure. So I would say that when we talk about climate change and some of those topics, just like anything, when we talk with the public, there are some that are skeptical, but some that understand it. When we start to talk about some of the effects of climate change and some of those trends, we can see that the local staff and municipal workers really have a keen understanding of what those impacts are.
Monroe is the one town that's not on Lake Michigan. I'm wondering if there are some differences here based on whether you're on the east side of a lake or the west side of a lake. People who've done boating and sailing, you know all about, you know, water currents and those sort of things, that they're very different depending on which side of the lake you're on. Is there a reason that the west side is getting a little more attention, at least in the early stages of this?
The one thing, I'm not sure that we selected those communities specifically, but on the west side, there has been FEMA has undertaken a coastal flood study. And so they are looking at, traditionally, they've looked at the Atlantic coast and the Pacific coast and tried to identify areas at risk for inundation and storm surge. And so just recently, FEMA has been focused on Great Lakes communities. And so they've been, Lake Michigan was selected as the first lake to kind of look at what historical storms have been occurring there. So they looked at the last 50 storms. They looked at wave and wind patterns. And so we're finding that Lake Michigan is a very dynamic coastline. It's got a lot of critical dune areas. It's got a lot of habitat. And so we're finding that a lot of the communities and homes that are built along Lake Michigan in the communities that we're working in, both Grand Haven and St. Joseph, have homes that are at risk for kind of the water levels coming back up again.
And I would say in Monroe, they're facing different challenges, but sometimes to greater effect. As you know, the Toledo area and then even southern Monroe County last summer had the entire municipal water system shut down due to high levels of algae that was attributed to stormwater runoff or phosphorus in the water from farming and agricultural uses, which are being used more prevalently, and then the climate of the increased heat made a perfect storm for that. So each community faces their own issues, and then they also face different issues associated with kind of their economic resilience. A community like Monroe had a much more manufacturing base than some of the cities on the West Coast, and how they're dealing with the loss of some of that manufacturing and how to transition to more of a tourism economy, which this west side of Michigan has been doing for many, many years. Those are the challenges, some of the differences in the challenges that they're facing.
You've mentioned Holland is one of the areas that you're going to expand into next. Are there plans to go much further than that? Is there the opportunity, I guess, to include many more communities in this planning process?
Well, we always like to say there's lots of opportunity. The projects that we have now are all being funded through grants. So we anticipate that we will continue to seek out grants to do this work. But if that doesn't happen, we can still do work for communities if they're willing to work with us in that effort. So we definitely see an opportunity to expand throughout the state of Michigan and then even into some of our inland communities. They face some different challenges, but many of the same challenges, and we think it's applicable just about everywhere.
So what does your organization need for this program to be sustained and then to be expanded?
Well, that's a great question. I think, obviously, we need the cooperation of communities that are interested in taking this step with us. As I mentioned, the cooperative nature of the project is somewhat unique, and for some communities, the idea of climate change or what that means, it's a challenge to overcome. So really, it's a willingness to look at developing a master plan under a new approach is really all we need to continue. Obviously, funding from grant agencies and foundations is helpful and has been pretty paramount into the work that we've done so far. But a willingness and an open mind from those jurisdictions is really the first step.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gordon.
Perry Burkholder and Claire Carner are community planners with Resilient Michigan, which is a project started by the Land Information Access Association. Links with more information and longer versions of interviews on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.